Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show 152, and I'm pumped you're here today. Today is this is a crazy episode. We are going international, not like international, like we're going to Canada or Australia like we've done before. We're going to Brazil. All right, we're going straight. This is like real international. And Gustavo Moraes joins me on the podcast. It's such a cool episode to hear how laundromats are functioning in Brazil. And it's really crazy how there's definitely some differences and nuances, which we get into, but there's also a lot of similarities. So very cool to see how Gustavo's is running his laundromats in Brazil. Super fun episode. He shares numbers. He shares details. He gives it all. It's really cool. So even if you're not in Brazil, which probably most of you are not in Brazil, this episode is definitely worth a listen. I had a lot of fun. Gustavo's just a great, great guy and is doing some very cool stuff and has some pretty cool ambitions there in Brazil too, which we get into a little bit. So get ready to have your socks blown off on this episode. Today's fast lane tip is this. I'm sure many of you know that if you need it, we have got people that you can talk to one-on-one about your particular needs in the laundromat industry, whether that's helping you analyze a laundromat deal or asking questions about particular deals, or if that's diving deep into your business and maybe helping improve performance or figuring out how to scale. We have got consultants that you can book time with anytime that they're available on those calendars. You just book it straight online. Super clean, super easy. Laundromatresource.com/coaching, which that link is down below if you're on YouTube. And if you are listening to the podcast, you can go to laundromatresource.com/coaching or go to laundromatresource.com/show152, where this and all the other links we talk about today will be on the show notes page there. But feel free to check that out anytime you need that. That is available for you, whether you're trying to buy your first laundromat or you own a laundromat or multiple laundromats. We have got a team of consultants over there that can help you out, myself included, but there are some other incredible rock stars like Andrew Cunningham, like Lauren Burkowski over there. So go check that out at laundromatresource.com/coaching. That's your fast lane tip. Now let's head to South America with Gustavo right after this word from our sponsors.
Hello again, laundromat owners. This is John from BMR with today's quick marketing tip. Let's talk about eco-friendly initiatives. In our era, environmental consciousness is not just appreciated, it's often expected. And good business strategy says to use current trends to both market your business and maximize its efficiency. Let's think about this for a second. By incorporating eco-friendly practices, you're also appealing to a growing demographic of environmentally conscious customers. These are individuals who make choices based on sustainability. They're more likely to frequent a business that aligns with their values. So your commitment to the environment can become a key differentiator, setting you apart in a competitive market. But the benefits don't stop there. Eco-friendly measures like energy-efficient washers and dryers, solar panels, water recycling systems may require initial investment, but they can pay off big in the long run. They lead to significant savings in utilities and often come with tax benefits. We're talking about cutting costs while boosting the reputation. That is a win-win. So adopting these practices can also inspire customer loyalty. They're not just using your services, they're participating in a cause they care about. This builds a community around your brand, turning customers into advocates. Now you're positioning your business for long-term success. For more free information about eco-friendly initiatives, visit us at buildwithbmr.com/green.
Gustavo, how are you doing, man?
Hey, Jordan, I'm doing fine. Happy to be here.
Happy and honored. Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm honored also. Yes, to have you on. And I'm double excited right now because you're taking us international today, which we'll get to here in a second. But I'm super excited to hear your story and hear your experience. Why don't you take a couple minutes and tell us a little bit about you? Who are you and how did you work your way into this industry?
All right. Well, I am Brazilian. I was born in Brazil. at university, I took electrical engineering. During university, I had the chance to teach English as a foreign language for some time. And I could improve my level of fluency in the English language. I used to teach English as a foreign language to Brazilians only. And then after I graduated, I decided to shift to another area, not related to English and not related to electrical engineering. I started flying helicopters. The aviation is a crazy segment, man, because there's a lot of passion involved and your time really doesn't belong to you. But it's a mix of emotions and I really enjoy aviation, really enjoy flying. But you also have free time to do other stuff, right? Because when you're not, sometimes you have long periods of flying in my segment, at least it's like this. And then you have long periods of not flying. So I looked for something else to do, another kind of activity that would allow me to keep flying. I needed these categories, right? I could work maybe from home. It wouldn't be a product, like I was searching for having a business related to services. And something else, I wouldn't like to be sued by my customers. So the laundromat business seemed like a perfect fit. So 2 years ago, I started researching on the segment. That's also when I got to know your podcast, when I was researching about laundromats. After a very good friend of mine, who's also a pilot, told me that he had just opened one shop, self-service laundromat, and he really enjoyed it, and he could fly and take care of the business. It was pleasant. So another category I forgot. I would have to feel like I'm helping people. I would be maybe contributing for my community somehow. And then after this talk, I started researching. And I ended up checking franchises. This is the franchise or not franchise. This dilemma is something that maybe is common to people who are new to the business, at least here in Brazil. But I think the franchise might give you some shortcuts. You know, you might be able to reach some objective faster. You would learn faster. Your learning curve is probably faster when your friend go with a franchise. And that's what I did. I opened my first store in September last year. I acquired a franchise in May. I opened in September. It was actually really fast finding the right spot. And then after that, after the first shop, I opened the second and already the third. The third was like 20 days ago. And the second was a month and a half ago.
Wow. Congrats on all that going real fast. Like you're like, hey, this business is interesting. You did your research. And after you did your research, you're like, okay, I'm in. And you just kind of went after it and got three. How long between the first one and the third one? Getting the first one and the third one?
It was September and then, well, six months. 6 months. Opening, yeah? The opening of the first and the opening of the third. And the second was in between after a month before the last one. Around a month before.
All right. 6 months. That's pretty quick. Really awesome stuff. So I want to go back real quick. I mean, you talked about being a franchisor. Which one is it? I forget. But you've got franchises. And you talked about some of the pros, of being going the franchise route, which is great. Cause there's a lot of debate on whether going the franchise route is good or not. And, you know, I think that shortcut, is one of the big draws. And also, you know, a lot of people, want to go the franchise route because they feel like there's like a safety net there. Do you feel like that's the case? Like there's a little bit more security going the franchise route?
Yeah, I do. Because I am not from this kind of business. I thought it would be maybe safer to go with the franchise because, well, I like studying stuff, but I didn't know anything, right? And now I know just a little bit, but it is in this case, I decided to go safer. If I would start again now with the things I know, I wouldn't go with a franchise. Okay. Because, I learned a lot in 1 year. I learned a lot and there are some other, positive aspects like the brand itself. Yeah. People look at your shop and they already recognize that something they know from the market. So that also helps, a lot. It's funny, right? It's like going to a place. You think, there might be ghosts. There might be ghosts in there. Let me have some safety. And then after you go in, maybe there are some ghosts, but they're nice. They're friendly and you get familiar with stuff. So it depends on the individual itself, like, follow your heart, I guess.
Yeah. So you go the franchise route. Are there a lot of franchises in Brazil or are there a lot of independent laundromats? What's the market like there?
Yeah, we have both of them. We have, talking about the Brazilian market, there are some numbers that might be interesting to share.
Oh,
Brazil,
yeah.
Only 4% of the economically active population makes use of laundromats. In United States and Europe, this number is way higher. It's around 18%. There's a huge possible growth in the Brazilian market. There's a research by an association here of laundromats. It's a National Association of Laundromats. They concluded that by 2030, this number of 4% will grow to 10%, right, in 6 years more. So it's a huge mark. 6% of the economically active population is a huge number. It's another piece of information that might be interesting. In 2021, there were 2,480 new laundromats in Brazil that were opened. And the following year, 2022, in the first semester only, we had the same number. So it's like it doubled. Yeah. In 1 year, the number of new laundromats doubled. This is after COVID.
Yeah. Where are people doing their, so if only 4% are doing laundry at laundromats, where do people do laundry? Do they have in-home laundry or where do people do the laundry?
At home.
At home.
They have their own domestic machines. A very low percentage of families have the dryers. It's a warm country, so dryers are maybe not so important when you have the space to hang your clothes. So, but this habit is changing. This is what the study shows, because people are going to smaller apartments. And then they don't have maybe the space to have a dryer or maybe a place to hang their clothes after they wash it.
Yeah. Do you think people are going to the smaller place? Is that like an urbanization or what? Yes. Are people just kind of coming more from out? Yeah. So people are just coming more to the cities. So there's more demand. Yeah. We should talk a little bit about what these laundromats look like here in a second. But when you said 2,480 in 2021 and the same amount in the first quarter of 2022, new laundromats, is that what you're saying?
The first semester. The first semester first of semester. 2022. New shops, new venues.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of new venues for new laundromats. To come in. Yeah. So can you give us a picture? Like, what are these new laundromats looking like? Are they?
The huge majority is like small places with self-service. I might not be so accurate for some of the numbers, but most of these new laundromats are self-service, and they are small self-service laundromats, like with three washers and three dryers. For 10 kilos each, yeah. Which would be the 20 pounds, the 20 pounders, you call them, I
guess. Yeah, that's about right.
Some of them have bigger machines too.
That's wild. Who's doing all, is it mostly, do you know, is it mostly franchises? Are there people just saying, hey, this is like a thing right now? I'm going to put some washers in a small space, you know, for a community, or who's building all these things?
Yeah, my impression of the market is that 30% of this number of laundromats, new laundromats, are not franchises. So 70% would be franchises. And it's interesting to also see where they are located. Because, for example, something very common here, people have those small galleries inside big supermarkets, yeah, with shops mm-hmm. that are specialized in something. And one of these shops would be like a place to make keys. Another one would fix cell phones and have covers and protection and cables. And the other very common shop in one of those galleries would be the laundromats, the self-service laundromats, because there's a huge convenience there. People, they go to the supermarket. They usually take maybe up to an hour doing that. And while they're buying their stuff, they can also do their laundry. So they save time. This habit, this habit is growing in the Brazilian society. Sometimes this shop is not inside a supermarket, but they are very near a supermarket or very near another big commercial area. When you talk about parking lots, for example, the laundromat doesn't need to have a parking lot because parking will be available maybe in the supermarket or maybe in this commercial area somewhere. So the laundromats are small. My third store is only 18 square meters, right? That is a small space, 2 meters by nine, 2 by 9, something, or 3 by 6, 3 meters, but it's like a square, a very small square. Mm-hmm. You just have a table for folding. You have some chairs, the machines in a space that is closed for the maintenance of the machines, maybe air conditioner, depending on the kind of where you are located. But it's very simple. It's a small business. That's actually why I opened three already, because they are simple. It's easy to get a permit. You don't have to go after a place that already has all the infrastructure. You can build. You can easily build the infrastructure for the laundromat, like sewage and water, electricity. We usually don't use gas, so they're very simple.
For your dryers, are they electric dryers, or are you not having dryers?
Electric. Electric. Always electric. There are dryers that are run by gas, but usually they are used in bigger places, bigger laundromats. Maybe laundromats that also do dry cleaning and they have pickup and delivery, wash and fold, the other services. They have employees. My stores don't have employees.
So they're just totally unattended. You have to go clean up and do that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't take too long to clean up, you know, 18 square meters of store. Yeah.
Well, the kind of service we need to have hired is cleaning. When we have the habit of being there, when we open, we stay there, we are present in the store for at least a month, trying to welcome new customers and explain how everything works. Actually, as I said, we are trying to get a new chunk of the market, people who never did that before. So we go after, we have to explain how things work. And our stores also don't use money. We use only cards. And here in Brazil, we have a financial operation that is really interesting. We call it PIX. It's PIX, in which I transfer money to you only with a key QR code. You know, you show me a QR code, I scan, and I send you the money. And our machines use that. You can use your credit card or a debit card, or you can pay using the PIX. So we don't deal with money. That also helps in terms of security, because you don't run the risk of being robbed or something. If I'm talking too much, please let me know.
Okay, no, man, I'm fascinated with how this is going. It's really interesting. I'm just trying to picture. I've never been to Brazil. I've been to South America, but I've never been to Brazil. I'm trying to picture, you know. Yeah, yet. Well, now I'm going to have to come. I'm going to have to come and check out these laundromats you guys got down there. So going to have to figure that out.
Let me be your host here.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the other thing, I've never been in a helicopter, so. Man, I got a lot of things that are coming on the bucket list right now because of this podcast. So
there you go. Yeah. They are both very interesting, the country and the aircraft.
Yeah. I want to go back to, the beginning here. Okay. So you talked to your buddy said, I just bought one of these. You're like, yeah, I might do this. So you did your research. You found a franchise that you liked. What was the process of actually getting started? What did that look like with the franchise?
Yeah, I studied around 10 different franchises, the most famous ones, the ones that were on the top list of my research. Anyway, some of them were arrogant. Some were aggressive, too aggressive. Come, buy. So I just didn't like that.
Yeah.
And the one I chose, which is it's an interesting name. The name of the franchise I'm part of is Laundromat. That's the name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very creative.
Laundromat. Yeah. Well, we are in Brazil, so this word is not common here.
That's true.
Actually, I thought it was
that's right. That's true.
I'm not translating the name. The actual name is Laun, D, etc. Right. So they were very easygoing. They made me comfortable. They explained what I wanted to know. They were not in a hurry. They have a very skin in the game, a way of doing things. You know, if I do well, they do well. If I don't do well, they're not going to get anything. You know, prices were reasonable. I also bought the machines with them. And I have very good support for digital marketing. I have good support for clients. Actually, if one of my clients have a problem in the shop, they call the franchise, not me. It's not my phone that rings, right? So that is an interesting service. That's nice. for a very good price. These were the things that made me choose Laundromat, the franchise.
Okay, so you picked one out of the top 10 most famous ones. You picked the one that's Laundromat, which is great, I think. And then what did you do? What did that look like? Did you go look for a location, or what were the steps that you took to actually open the doors of your first laundromat?
Man, this word location. This is actually very important, at least here, because it is not easy to find an interesting place. I was at first, I was aiming at supermarkets. I wanted to have a shop inside a supermarket. This is a shop that never closes. When the supermarket closes, my store is closed. I have security. I have people passing by all the time. You know, I have the support of the supermarket. So they were rare. You know, these possibilities were rare. I called all the supermarket chains that have these galleries. And the first one that gave me a shot was, in my opinion, already a good one. So that's how I started my first one. But it was I needed to insist, and it was funny. I had been insisting for some time, all with all these guys, and then one day I was passing by a supermarket. And I thought, well, I've never been inside this one. Then I went there and I saw a shop that was available. And then I talked to one of the attendants. She said, oh, just a minute. I'm going to give you this phone number that I called a person that I had never called before. So when this person made the connection and said, okay, this one is available. Take a look. And then that's how things started. I didn't hesitate much to choose that one, but it was hard to find. And the second one is not in a supermarket. The second one is in a commercial, second shop is in a commercial, gallery. It's like a mall, but you have two streets that are very populated, let's say, and these two streets are connected to a gallery of stores. So they are this gallery also closes. So again, my shop has no doors. You know, when the doors close, my shop is closed. But this second store has an advantage, because inside this gallery, inside these doors, there are four apartment buildings with 176 families living in these buildings. And they only access their building through the gallery. So I never close. This shop is open 24 hours for these people who live in the building, in these four buildings. And during commercial hours, they are open to the public.
Well, that's the whole making money while you sleep thing. That's, you know, that's the goal. Like, have that business running, whether you're there or not, and whether you're awake or not, which is great. Have you run into many problems? I mean, it sounds like you're in pretty heavily trafficked areas and areas where there's people around a lot. Have you had any problems with it at all? Vandalism or anything like that?
No. Vandalism, not at all. The only thing actually we are facing here is having to convince people this system is interesting. The system is economically worth it. We need to teach. You have to make them have the habit of taking their clothes to self-service laundromat. The attendant laundromats obviously have been around for decades, right? But the unattended laundromats are becoming, this started like 5 years ago. So people are still learning how to use them. But it's a trend. It's a huge trend. I can see that the numbers of my shops, they fluctuate. Actually, the oldest store was open during summer. The other two weren't. But during summer, many people travel in Brazil. So the numbers, they started well. They went down a little. Now they're picking up again. But I feel that the convincing, the selling the service is important right now.
What kinds of things are you doing to try to sell that? I mean, it sounds like by having all these new ones coming in all at once, that sort of like the rising tide lifts all boats. So hopefully business will grow because of that. Are you doing anything in particular, any kind of marketing or anything like that to help draw more awareness and, you know, like you've been saying, like create a new habit of coming to the self-serve laundromat and getting it done there?
Yeah. Apart from digital marketing, in the newest shop, we have a person there every day, 6 hours a day during the busiest times. I didn't mention, but the third one is also in a supermarket and it's in a different city. Right. It's not in the city I live. So I take 30 minutes to get there, sometimes more. So we have a person there, person who is from the city, who is there 6 hours a day during the busiest hours, explaining how things work. If the system works, we might implement the same thing in the other stores. But we also go, me and my partner, we very often go to the stores and we stay there for some time. We clean and we talk to people. And we introduce ourselves. And the teaching clients is not so easy because it has to be in person, right? It can't be remote. It's hard to do this remotely.
Right. There is that learning curve there for customers too. And if they get frustrated the first time they go, they may never come back, right? If they don't understand what to do or how it all works, you know, so that learning curve is maybe you should like play a video on a loop of like, here's what to do.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Let me take a note. But, the video is a possibility, but I also think they might come back. Because creating a habit maybe takes not just one thing. It takes a couple of things, you know. Maybe a friend tells you it's nice, then you go by and you take a closer look. You read instructions, then you go away, and then one day you need your machine breaks and you today I'm gonna try that thing there. I this is not the only way, but I also believe. We might be able to draw the attention of people who go by and at first they think they would never use that service. So I think they might change their minds. Hope I'm right.
Me too, man. Me too. Well, and it sounds like it is moving that direction, right? You're on the front end of the trend that's happening there, which is good. Can we talk a little bit, like, how you can give kind of ballpark numbers, but like, how much does it cost to open up a franchise of, you know, this relatively small store, in like a supermarket or commercial shopping center or whatever?
Yeah. The exchange rate is 5 to 1. So, $1.
Okay.
One American dollar is five Brazilian reais. Okay. So, but all I can say in American dollars using the exchange rate, it's around 30,000 to open a shop. And in this money, we already have the like three stacks, like three dryers and three washers. It's around 30,000, including, the remodeling of the shop, electricity, the piping, the exhausting pipes, the infrastructure in general. Actually, this is something me and my partner did. We went there and we put the cables, the pipes, and we just didn't paint, and we didn't do dry walls. But man, we saved a lot of money. This would be one of my secret sauce. I can't say that yet. Sorry. But
yeah,
service. We all know service is not cheap, right? And if you know how to do,
yeah,
and you have the time,
yeah, you can save a lot of money that way for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving kind of a ballpark number. That 30,000 in USD is pretty attractive. You're not finding too much stuff around here for 30,000. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but again, it's a small shop, right? And it's only six machines.
Yeah, I know. Well, I want to get into that a little bit, but I'm going to wait for down to business. I want to talk about sort of your overall, like after you opened this first one, you and your partner opened this first one, like how did it go? Was it what you expected? Was it not what you expected? Did business come immediately or was it slow at first? How was that?
We had a promotion, like a special price, a special opening price. Each cycle for washing or drying 10 kilos, which would be 20 pounds, is here in American dollars is something like $3.50, right? This is a normal price. So we had a promotion, and then we had a price like $2.50, around something like that. And then in the first month, we already reached break even. It was amazing. It was like,
dang.
We had 10 days of almost nothing. But then the following 30 days was really interesting. And then summer came, right? So summer sort of jeopardized our operation a little bit. People travel and we have more sun here in our city.
We get like that here in LA too. People travel a lot in the summer, but also we basically wear no clothes all summer. We're in bikinis and Speedos pretty much all summer. So not a whole lot to wash, right?
Well, a lot of Speedos in the shop then.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, too bad I went to LA in the winter.
Yeah, too bad. Next time. Okay, so you had 10 days of almost nothing. I mean, in those 10 days, were you getting nervous? Were you worried that, oh man, maybe this isn't going to work? Or were you pretty confident the whole time?
It's funny. When you open the laundry service, is something that people can't just consume right when they see it, and then out of the blue, oh, I'm going to consume that service. No, you need your dirty clothes. So unless you provide pickup and delivery, but people have to see that it's there. Oh, so next time I'm going to bring my clothes. So it takes some time for people to start coming. Oh, now it's open. When we were remodeling the shop, we informed people what we would have there, the date of opening and everything. But people want to see it open, right? So, okay. So next time I come to the supermarket, I might bring my laundry. So this is what happened. So our first month was really good, but, it is picking up again. And, I feel good about it. You know, to be honest, numbers aren't fantastic, but this investment is more of a long-term investment. And I also, as an owner, I need to learn. This is my feeling. I need to learn more. And each shop will bring me different insights, will help me in different ways to make the whole thing do well, right? I have to listen to more Laundromat Resource podcasts. I really feel like the learning is endless. You know, the three different shops will help me understand the business better with local details.
The learning is endless, right? Like, I don't know. I've been in this industry about a little over a decade now, and I've talked with hundreds of laundromat owners, and I've talked with hundreds of people who are in the industry who may or may not own laundromats, but are in the industry other ways. And I'm always learning something new. You know, every podcast interview, I'm learning new things. That's why I take notes during the podcast interviews. I'm always learning new things. So I like having that mindset. I like that you have that mindset, because if you can keep that mindset, you will continue to grow, right? You will continue to learn. And that's, I think, what, you know, business owners need to do. That's what we need to do. Is it's so easy to get stuck in, okay, I've got, you know, my three machines, or my six machines in each of my stores, and I'm just going to let them run until they make money. Like, people do that, and you can do that, but eventually you're going to kind of cap out, right? If you continue to learn, continue to grow, you know, you can expand, or you can, increase profitability. There's just like a whole host of different ways that you can go if you just keep that mindset that you want to keep learning, keep growing. Sort of that abundant mindset of there's always more to learn. I'll never know everything there is to know. So let's continue to pursue that knowledge. And that's, I love that you're saying that right now. I think it's so important.
Actually, and there's something else. I remember you also said that apply something you learned today. You know, don't stop at learning. You have to make it like turn into an action, right? Act on top of what you learned.
Yeah. Well, and that's key, right? You can get stuck in the learning cycle, but you've got to actually go out and do the stuff, right? But you're doing it. That's the whole point, right? Is you're learning, but you're doing it as you're learning. And because you're doing it, you're learning. And because you learn while you're doing it, you're doing better. And, you know, it's this cycle of learning, doing, learning, doing, learning, doing. We get stuck in that learning loop, learning, 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 learning.
Sure.
We never go out and do it. It doesn't take us anywhere. But that's what I'm saying. You're out there doing it. You've got, three of these laundromats in 6 months, and you're doing while you're learning, and you're learning while you're doing, which is beautiful. It's perfect.
You know, something I feel now that the third one is ready. I'm going to have more time to work on the operation, because before I was too worried with finding a new spot and then remodeling the shop, remodeling two shops. And I also, I flew a lot during these summer months. So, time is important. You gotta give yourself also some time to see the changes of the things you created. Yeah, we can't expect a response right after you do something.
I mean, speaking of time, how much time are you working on these laundromats right now? Do you have an idea?
I think something like 4 hours a day, average. Around 4 hours a day, yeah. But there are times I have a partner, another guy who's an engineer, who also has some free time, and we also take turns. Sometimes taking care of the shops. One of the shops has a temporary employee. So I needed to recruit that person. But also answering your question, while I'm there, I clean and I talk to customers. I put myself in a position where I am available to explain. Some person passes by, stops and starts reading the signs we have there. I say, hi, would you like some kind of explanation on how the system works? This is new. And then this is my favorite thing to do, actually, while I'm there, right? Because I'm doing that thing. I believe I'm trying to help the people in the community to be educated, because this is actually very local, right? This is a business that is very physical. You might find a laundromat through digital ways. Yeah, you might hear about them, but you're only gonna go to the one that is geographically interesting to you at that moment.
That's such a local, hyper local, almost spot that, you know, having that face to face and putting a face to the business is so important, and showing that you're part of that community there as a business is, I mean, that's probably the best return on investment you can get, is having those conversations and saying, hey, let me explain to you how this works, and those conversations, because that's where sort of relationships start to build and people want to do business with people they know, right? And so if they get to know you and your partner, they're more likely to come do business with you.
Sure. And this is something that are, I think, in America, you guys have much more pickup and delivery and wash and fold businesses than in Brazil. And we have many more, we have more, proportionally, we have more small laundromats, local laundromats that serve a small community. So that's why they are spread everywhere, but they're small, because they bring this service to a small number of families. In Brazil, another interesting number is that 98% of the laundromats are, we call them micro companies or small companies. So only 2% are considered to be medium or big companies, right? And something I also believe might happen in our market is the growth of pickup and delivery and the growth of wash and fold businesses.
I'm sure that'll be growing.
The idea progresses, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be growing. It'll be interesting to see if it does grow there. How, you know, one of the big obstacles, or I guess struggles, once a laundromat decides to do pickup and delivery is space for stuff. So I wonder if it'll stay hyper local on the pickup and delivery, because you just, if you're in 18 square meters, there's just not a lot of space, right? So if you get too much laundry, you really don't have a place to put it. And you only have three washers, three dryers. So you can't do a huge volume of it. So it'll be interesting to see if it does kind of take off, how that all works out there in that market. Because I think it'll be a little different than how it works here.
Yeah, there's an American company, The Fold. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Mark Vlaskamp, The Fold. Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of operation, I think, would pick up here in Brazil. And because you don't have to be very close to people. You can be far away, but you have a very good logistics team and you have good machines. That kind of investment will for sure happen here soon. And man, it's a huge market. Brazil is the population is 215 million people.
That's massive.
And the whole country is now going through this frenzy of self-service laundromats. The franchise I'm part of, they have around 300 stores, and they are spread all over the country. There's no special area that, of course, the big cities have. Rio and São Paulo have more shops, but it's a market that is open for the people who want to invest. These big companies that would like to invest, I think they would do well here.
Interesting stuff. Where are you located in Brazil?
I am in the south, the cold part, cold part of Brazil. People here wear jackets, gloves, boots. It's kind of warm right now, but we even have snow here sometimes.
That's not what we think of.
My city,
we think of Brazil.
No, yeah. We don't have, actually, Curitiba is kind of cloudy. It's famous in Brazil for being cloudy and cold. We are at 3,000 feet altitude and around 100 miles from the ocean in the south of Brazil. So the latitude is high. The latitude is similar to maybe Florida, maybe a little south of Florida, but it is cold because of the altitude.
Yeah. Oof. All right.
And Curitiba has around 2 million people.
2 million. Oh my gosh. That's big. All right. So you've got your three laundromats. It sounds like you just opened that third one and you're going to take a pause and work on operations a little bit, but what's the, do you have like a big, like future goal? Do you have aspirations to build more? What's the goal here? Do you have one?
The goal is 10 shops in 5 years. And I have just 4 years ahead to reach 5 years. But it's doable. If I learn well and if I do my job, it might be doable. It's only 7 to go.
Only 7 to go. Sounds so easy. Sounds so easy.
I heard your podcast once, the term, my laundromat empire will consist of maybe 10 shops.
That's right. So, I mean, you said your goal is to get to 10 laundromats. You've already got 3 in 6 months. And you said 10 in 5 years. I mean, obviously, if you got the same pace, you're going to way pass 10. But what do you think the obstacles are going to be to keep you from getting to 10?
We have to see how the trend goes. If society will embrace the habit in the rhythm, I would like it to. Basically, I think it's that. It's not for sure yet. Let's see. I like the business. That part, actually, in the beginning, I didn't know if I would actually like it, but I have been enjoying this very much. It's not charming, but it's pretty neat, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
It's a neat business.
It is a neat business.
It's so clean, right? It's nice.
Should be.
I have good tools to I have the cameras and all the online information we get is nice. The system of payment has been working well. The machines are fantastic. We actually use only speed queens. We also have 30 pounders that are speed queens, and they have touch screen and they're cool. So let's see. The obstacles would be getting good locations and maybe having the trend pick up.
Yeah. Well, and you can only do so much about each of those, right? You can keep looking for locations, but there's only so much you can do, you know, with how society is receiving these and if they're decide to utilize them. But it sounds like it's happening. If there were, you know, 5,000 new ones basically in the last couple of years that have come onto the, you know, onto the scene here, either there's going to be a lot of business owners hurting or people are starting to use these things and the trend is picking up. So I guess time will tell on that one. Are you actively looking for another location or are you just taking a pause on looking?
Yeah, I'm taking a pause. There's also the financial side, right? You can always finance your investment. But I'm trying to have this balance and see how things go, learn a little more, because this is not my main activity. So I don't need to, to rush to hurry too much. I can go slow.
Awesome. Well, we've got a segment of the podcast called Down to Business.
Let's get down to business. Over and out.
That's where we just dig a little bit deeper. I mean, we've already talked about a lot of this stuff already in this interview, but you're in South Brazil. We've talked about that already in a cold part, which is not my conception of Brazil. I just see sun and beaches and dancing and all that. So you're blowing my mind here. You got all the stuff going on in Brazil. You got three. When did you buy the first one? Is that September? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was May, but I opened in September.
Oh, May.
Last year.
Oh, okay. Okay. And we talked about VIN prices. You said your 18 kilo or your 10 kilogram washers. I'm trying to retranslate back to the real metric system over there.
That's nice.
10 kilogram washer. You said were about $350 in our money. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
US dollar?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we provide soap and softener.
Yeah. Did you say you have 30 pound washers too?
Yes, we do.
Okay. What do those run?
Those are around five and a half American dollars.
Okay. Cool. And then for the dryers, do you have, like one price for a certain amount of time? How do you do the dryer pricing?
Yeah, it's one fixed amount of time. You can change the temperature, but it's always 45 minutes up to 45 minutes. Yeah. Because you can remove your clothes before that if you want, if they're dryer.
Do you find, out of curiosity, and maybe because it's cold there, no, but do you find that people use the washers but not the dryers, or do people pretty much always use the dryers? I was just thinking, maybe if people are used to hanging their clothes. I know some people prefer that.
We have all kinds of things. We have people who come to the store only to dry, only to wash, and both, right? Mm. It's amazing. They leave. Sometimes they leave the store with their clothes still wet.
Another question I have is, do you have any idea of how many turns per day the laundromats are doing or the machines are doing?
Yeah. We have, I usually keep track of the number of turns per day, but not specifically in the machine. So my average goes around 10. It's from 8 to 10. So I have six machines in each store. All of the stores have six machines. So it's something, you just do the math. That is mm-hmm. is what I have per day in average. But every day of the week, including Sunday and holidays. The second store has a different time. Yeah, opening hours. It never closes, and it serves four apartment buildings during the night and any time of the day. So, and these guys use the store. So, the second store has an average that is a little higher, maybe one and a half cycles a day higher.
Do you find that people prefer, because if you have the, I'm going to butcher the sizes, but you have 10 kilogram and 15 kilogram or whatever. What are the two sizes? Do you find that people prefer one or the other size?
Yeah, they prefer the 10 kilograms because maybe they wash their clothes often. One of the problems I have sometimes is, and I still have to educate the customers, is sometimes they try to overload the machines, you know, instead of using the 30 pounders, they try to put like too much stuff in the small machines, but it's very soon. I think these people will understand that it's just they're having a disadvantage by doing that, not a financial advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. We have that same problem here. People want to stuff as many clothes as they can in the washer, but it doesn't allow everything to kind of mix and wash correctly when they do that. So it actually is not good for, they think they're saving money, but it actually doesn't save them any money.
Once I had a chance to show a client, I called him and said, take a look at the washer here. Take a look at your clothes. See what's happening with them. And then I had another one on the side and I said, okay, now look at that one. What do you think is it? Because clothes were stuck, right? Just spinning, spinning and not moving.
Right.
So, we're always going to have people who try that, but it's a matter of maybe learning how to use this tool, right? To use the service.
In some ways, it connects us all, right? We all have that same issue where customers are going to try to overfill the washers, or they're going to try to use too much soap. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I talked to a customer and I said, who's complaining that there was a lot of soap in the detergent in the washer. And I'm like, well, the only way there's too much detergent in the washer is if you put too much detergent in the washer. But you know, somehow it's always the machine's fault, not their fault. But you know, we all are going to have that in common. It's going to be great. We'll bond over.
It comes with the business.
Yeah. We got another segment of the podcast. Yeah, and exactly. We got another segment of the podcast called Secret Sauce.
Listen up, it's the Secret Sauce.
Secret Sauce is, you know, and we kind of already let the cat out of the bag a little bit, but tell us something that you found that's been working for you and helping you to grow your business, improve your business.
This is a little unfair because I already listened to a lot of your episodes, I already heard a lot of secret sauces before, right? So I have to try and not repeat any of the secret sauces I heard. So I thought of something that might work for some places is I wouldn't depend on venues which already have the structure for a laundromat before opening one. I would look for, because if you do that, you would be maybe too limited. I would try to find new places, places that I have never been a laundromat. So if the permits are not so difficult, which is the case here, I would try to do that. And it worked for me so far.
Yeah.
None of the shops awesome. I own have been laundromats before.
I think that's awesome because, you know, there's something to be said for having a empty space that you can kind of build and mold however you want it to be and however you want it to look. It can get more complicated if there are permits needed and the stores gets bigger and you need more machines and all that stuff. But man, I think that there's definitely something to be said for finding that white box, as we call it here, white box. Find the white box and turn it into the space that's designed the way that you think it needs to be designed to suit your customer base the best. So awesome. Secret sauce. We've got another segment of the podcast called Pro Tips.
Pro Tips.
You got any advice for anybody who was maybe you a year ago looking for your first laundromat? You got any advice for them?
Good. Well, I almost don't consider myself a pro yet, at least not yet. But from what I've lived so far, I can say study your location as much as possible, because location is everything. Location will determine whether the business will be successful or not. Of course, it's not the only thing, but it's also the study you do before will also prevent from regretting in the future, you know. So you might, if you go maybe too fast, let's go here and that's okay. You might in the future think, maybe I should have. Should have studied a little more and not gone with the first thing that opened up.
I wrote down that quote as you were saying it. The study you do before will prevent you from regret. Like, I thought that was great, a great quote. And obviously, I mean, I think it's a great advice to get as educated as you can, you know, before jumping into any endeavor, really, any business, any new endeavor that you're getting into. But, you know, this industry in particular, it makes all the sense in the world to get educated, which brings us to our last segment of the show, which is recommended resources. Do you got any resources you can recommend and or places where people can get educated on this industry?
Well, I would strongly recommend, honestly, I would recommend your podcast. Because you get to hear from all kinds of people, yeah. You that are, I mean, not only the podcasts, but you have the live Q&A, the videos. You will sort of find yourself somewhere there. But other than your content. There are some agencies that promote small businesses here in Brazil. They are run by the government, but they are very effective. There's one here called Sebrae, which provides, again, lots of content for small businesses in general. These guys helped me a lot. I was able to get some tips in terms of accountancy, the projects you need to have before opening, the planning, financial planning. So I'm sure in America you can also find that, and this is something common in many countries around. Agencies that promote people who are opening businesses, entrepreneurs.
Great. Awesome resources. And listen, this has been awesome for me to get to hear what you've been doing over the last little less than a year in growing your laundromat empire, and in really just kind of hearing how, you know, laundry is different in different places. And this business,
yeah,
I talk about this a lot, like business is so simple, right? But there's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can buy these. I just visited a store here in Southern California, 11,000 square foot store. And you know, you're talking about one that's 18 square meters. So, you know, they can be huge with, you know, 100 plus machines, and they can be small with 6 machines, and you can make money, doing this, and you can serve the community doing this, and you can connect with the community doing this. So been very cool to hear your experience so far and the lessons that you've learned, early on in your journey. We're going to have you back on, first of all, in at the very minimum in 5 years, because I need to know if you're going to hit your 10 laundromats in 5 years. But my guess is you're going to hit that much sooner than that 10 years. That's my guess. Man, I really appreciate you coming on. I have one more question for you before we wrap this thing up. If people have been inspired by you, or they want to connect with you, or they have questions for you, or they want to start a franchise in Brazil with you, what's the best way people can get in contact with you?
Okay. My professional email is g@gmoraes.com. Moraes is Moraes. We also have the Facebook page and the Instagram page. They go by Instagram, for example, is @laundromatwb for the Instagram, and Facebook is the same thing, just /laundromatwb. It's been a pleasure for me. It's funny to be talking to you here after having listened to you so many times. I really appreciate what you do for the business, what you do for the industry. As you can see, not only in America, but also other places in the world. Okay, I'm sure I'm not the only one in Brazil. The only limit for these people is knowing the English language, right? But we might talk about that later. Having laundromat resources
in other languages. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
But thank you so much.
I think that is a great idea.
All right. Okay, Jordan, take it easy. Thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say, number one, this has been great, and another huge thank you to you. But I just want to say a quick message to your kids that you're doing it over here. You are an all-star, and you know, now you're gonna be a YouTube star. I mean, that's given, right? Gonna be a YouTube star. And I just want them to know that you are a hero. That's what I want them to know.
Thanks a lot, man. The 9-year-old might believe you. The older ones, I'm not so sure.
We'll have you back on and want to hear kind of the update and the progress that's happening there. And who knows, maybe one of these days I'll get down there and get to see him in person. That would be awesome.
Sure. That would be great, man. That would be a pleasure. I'm going to show you the dancing and the beaches.
Okay.
But we would have to travel a little.
Okay, that's fine with me. All right, man, I appreciate you so much.
Take it easy. Okay, thanks.
Fascinating stuff with Gustavo. Such a good time I had talking with him, and that was just a lot of fun hearing how laundromats are functioning down there, and it just got my wheels spinning. I'm like, oh man, maybe I need to move south a little bit here. We'll see. Dude, I do have a goal of going to visit, you know, the people who come on this show. I want to come see their operations, see what they've got going on. So now I've got to put Brazil on that to-do list, in my travel bucket list there, which Sounds like a good thing to me. So huge shout out and thank you to Gustavo for coming on. Hopefully you found some nuggets in there that you